Thanks, Murray.
Thanks. Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Thanks, Laurie, for doing that. I'd like this morning to just encourage us to really think about our life as Christians and ask this question: what inspires you? Because I think that it's easy to do a lot of things. Yes, you want to win the world. Yes, you want to do a lot of things for God. But what really inspires you to do that? That becomes the big question. So this morning I want to talk about inspired by the Spirit of God. When you're inspired, you have to get engaged. There's no way you can say, "I'm inspired," and remain the same. The significance of someone that is inspired by God is that they cannot help themselves but be about God's business. But I think that as a church, that's easy to forget, to just give up on the business of God and have a lifestyle that really is, for the most part, mediocre. It's not inspiring, doesn't give God a lot. In fact, we become the problem because we are busy complaining and not giving of ourselves and not letting God transform us with His Word. So today I'll spend most of our time in Romans chapter 8 that describes how to live in a spiritual sense, compared to Romans chapter 7 that is very legalistic and the battle is real about just being godly. In Romans 7, it describes how whenever I want to do good, sin is right there taking the opportunity to get me to sin. Yet in Romans 8, it says, because I am imbued with the Holy Spirit, I'm now able to please God. How does that work? Inspired to be free from sin. So now, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life... Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Then it says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. That every time we're told, do not touch, we actually wanted to touch. That's the weakness of the sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have, and in the body God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Because for a long time, when we sinned, we went and sacrificed an animal as a way of dealing with sin. So every time we sinned, we had to take an animal and sacrifice that. God says, I'm going to bring My Son, who's just like you, going to die for your sin and then free you from that sin. And we'll get to that in a moment. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Inspired to be free from sin. That for the longest time, the way you dealt with sin is you committed sin, you went and sacrificed an animal as a way of dealing with that sin. So you didn't change though, even though you felt like, I've dealt with all I was supposed to do. 2 weeks later, you committed another sin. You went back to that and did that. So the problem with that is that the heart wasn't moving. The action was moving. But the heart was staying the same. It said nothing was happening in the area of the heart, but actions were moving. And God says, enough with just actions. We need to deal with the source of sin. And so for that to happen, I'm going to give them my best gift, and that is My Son. My only Son is going to come and die for this sin. In so doing, we're done with sacrificing. We're done with that. What's going to happen now, we need to have a relationship with you and I, such that the Spirit will lead you to do what is right. Let me explain it this way. Let's assume for a moment that all the policemen in Gwinnett are against you and I. They don't like you. They're waiting for you to make a mistake and they'll get you. Let's take for a moment that all the judges in Gwinnett are, they're looking out to get you. They don't like you. So anytime you go to court, you're losing. Do you get that? How would you live your life if that was the case? Would you drive the car or would you always Uber? Because if you drive, you don't know when they get you. How would you live your life? You'll be afraid. You'd never get out of the house, and if you did, you'd be doing an Uber. Because you don't want to be arrested. So your life will become very cumbersome because you can't Uber, no jaywalking because you don't know what they're doing. You'd be so careful, you'd stop functioning. The stress of that kind of a life is so heavy. That is legalistic living. That Old Testament living. That is what was happening with the law. Let's change the same story now. Let us imagine for a moment that all the policemen in Gwinnett are your brothers or sisters, related to you by blood. That all the judges in Gwinnett are your brothers and sisters, related to you by blood. That when the lights go off behind you, they're saying, "Hey, I just wanted to say hello to you. How are you doing?" How different would that be living your life? You'd leave your home confident, encouraged, saying, "Well, we can deal with this stuff." Church, which one are you living? The first one or the second one? The first one is Romans chapter 7. The second one is Romans chapter 8. There's a relationship there. The same people, but there's a relationship there. A connection with the same judges, but there's a relationship there. The same policemen, but there's a relationship there. Because of that, there is trust, there is conviction, there's inspiration to get out of that house. Why? Because we know God is on our side. When there's no inspired living, then you're afraid. You're controlled by fear. You hold back. You see God from a point of fear. You're not inspired by God to be free from sin. So it may be that the way you live your life, you're afraid of sin, so you keep committing this sin and you hold it back. But if you're open to what's going on, you want to talk about it. If the policeman stops you and is a relative, you'll talk about that because there's a way to resolve that. Does that make sense? But if it's an enemy waiting to get you, no way. I'll make it as hard as he can. And always hiding and always in that way, you just don't keep thriving as a Christian. That's simple. Change from the law to a relationship with God and Jesus dying on the cross for you and I changed everything. That transformation brings about a spirit-filled lifestyle. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all your sins. What you needed to do was to accept. When you repent and get baptized, you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in you that now can inspire you to do that. But it will not do that if you are not letting it do that. And let's go a little bit further and talk about that for a moment. Spiritual living is a choice. You will not experience the latter relationship I've just described if you're not letting that trust happen in your life. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. It's a choice. You know, what do you think about? Do you think about God is trying to get you, or do you think about the relationships you have with God? You know, it's very possible that as a person, your predisposition is just always negative. Negative mindset cannot give you a positive lifestyle. There's no way that can be. There's no way I can say I am full of negativity, but somehow I am going to have some serious, fruitful lifestyle. According to your faith will it be done. Matthew chapter 9. I'm just trying to check if you know what the scripture says, where it is. Verses 29. You've got to know. You cannot hope, and you've got to know what the Bible says. It's the promise of God. It says, according to your faith will it be done. The question is, what are you thinking about? Church, I believe this is our biggest problem. Many of us have no clue what the Bible says. So how can we then fill our minds with the promises of God and faith and get inspired? You're not going to be inspired if you're not filled with God. Probably you're filled with something else. That's not spirit living. And that's the question I want to put to you. What inspires you? What inspires you? You know, yesterday I was watching some soccer, and I saw the guys running around doing that stuff, and I thought, I could do that. Then I had to remember my age. I said, wait a minute. I said, yes, I used to do that when I was 18. I mean, I could go around that ball like nobody's business. Now it tried and happened. You know, my wife may have to come and get me from hospital. But when you're inspired, you think, oh, I can do that stuff. Then some things say, okay, wait a minute. I can teach someone how to do it. That's when I finally settled to, I can teach someone how to do that. Because I can do it myself right now, but I can tell him what it takes to do that stuff. See, church, when you're inspired, you make a choice to be dominated by the Word of God. You make a choice to be dominated by how you see things with the eyes of God. In other words, you're faithful. You're not negative. You don't give up. You don't let the challenges of the day beat you down. I want to talk to you today a little bit about that. It's very easy to buy in a very negative world. That by the time Monday evening comes, you're depressed and tired of living. And all the thing you're asking for is, Jesus, come today. I want to go home right now. It doesn't work like that. Jesus is not coming today. He's going to come when he comes. Nobody knows the hour or the time. Maybe now or maybe in 100 years. You know what? You need to have faith. And have faith build. Someone that is spiritually filled with the scriptures will begin to think spiritually about things. It's a choice though. What are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your mind with every day? When you live in the morning, what do you fill your mind with? Do you fill it with God, scripture, or what are you? Are you letting the troubles of the day become so big that that's all you fill your mind with? Preoccupied with the troubles of the day that you don't see God. Preoccupied with the your reality that you don't understand that God is bigger than your reality. Preoccupied with just the idea that I don't know what's going to happen, but you don't have hope that, you know, God can still overcome whatever you're going through. That is spiritual living. That is what touches the world. That is how you can evangelize the world. Not just talking about it when you live totally opposite of what you believe. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a choice though. Spiritual living is a choice. You really have a choice on what you will let determine your future. You have a choice on how you will live today. You have a choice on what your mind will focus on. You have a choice on whether you believe that God can overcome everything you have or you'll be overcome by your situation. You really have that choice. Now, let's face it. You may have a choice to think differently. Your circumstance may not change in 13 years or in 15 years. When I said that, some people fell down a little bit. Because the issue is not circumstance. The issue is that God is bigger than that circumstance. Moses was gone for 40 years before God called him back. He says, we got to do some work together. You see, that is our challenge as a people, waiting on God. God's timing is perfect. Let's wait on God. Amen? Make a choice, though, when you're waiting to be godly and not to be angry. What is your state of being? I touched that a little bit earlier. Let's talk about your state of being. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. Let's talk about your state of being. What is your state of being? Are you joyful? That your general state of being is joy. You smile, you talk to people, you're engaged in that sense, you're inspired. Or is your state of being generally angry, cantankerous? All you need is for someone to touch you and you blow up. These people exist everywhere. I was walking in a Kroger and I was really in a hurry. And as I walked, I was trying to go around the lady and her state of being really came out. She was upset and stopped and says, just go. And I said, you can go, ma'am. No, go. And I said to myself, well, I was in a hurry, but it seems like something happened there. Same Kroger, a few weeks later, I was again in a hurry. I don't know why I'm always am. trying to go. This time, another lady, oh, we started up a conversation. We walked out, we're talking, and we're having a good time. Have a good day. Same behavior. Same place. Different people. What is it? State of being. What is your state of being? Are you suspicious about everything? What is your state of being? Are you afraid all the time? What is your state of being? Are you happy? What is your state of being? Something will go wrong. I don't know what will go wrong. So you're anxious. Even when you do not know what will go wrong. So you live your life losing it. Because your state of being is not centered on the cross of Jesus. It's not centered on God and what He says. You're controlled by how you feel. That is what creates hostility towards the gospel. Because your state of being doesn't allow the gospel to penetrate, to say something to your soul. Because you're always so occupied with this emotion that takes over. You need to study that out so that you can bring it to a state of being that God says is spirit-filled. That's a battle. Because you get so used to your state of being, you think that's normal. It's not normal. You're not created to be angry and upset. You've been called to be given to life to the full. You've been created to have faith, to see that God can work, not to give in to everything that just comes your way, but to say, I can say no to that in Jesus' name, and I'm going to come with the scriptures. That is a reality. I was telling a brother that the first time I did communion, I was shaking so much. My paper was shaking. My notes, you could see them shaking. I was just shaking. I kid you not, my trouser was visibly shaking. What was it? My state of being was, what will people say about me? By the grace of God, we've gone past that. I don't think about that. I think about, God, how can I be a conduit of what you want me to deliver today? You see, we all can change. We think he's a preacher man. He must have been just been doing it. No, it was never easy. I was dreading a day they asked me, go do a message. I'd rather be somewhere else but not be doing a message. We all have things we dread. But the Bible says here very clearly, we may be hostile. That God is trying to do something with you, but you're hostile. You keep saying, God, don't use me. It can be helping someone to know God. It can be just serving in the kingdom. It can be anything, but you keep pushing it away. Why? Because your state of being is not about, God, use me. It's about somebody else, do that. What is your state of being? Some of that state of being requires to be repented of. Repent of your anger. Repent of your lack of forgiveness. Repent of whatever it is. And just come to God. Amen? How does living in the Spirit look like? How does that look like anyway when you're living in the Spirit? How does this look like? Let's talk about that. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit of, if you have the Spirit of the living God in you. That the moment you're baptized, you have that Spirit in you. It's supposed to control you. Now, it's not forcing itself on you, but it needs to be, you need to say yes to what it says to you. All right? And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of the living of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. The world has a hard time understanding how Christians think and do and make decisions because it's not of them. They make decisions based on money, based on looks, based on whatever they can see. I mean, we judge people by how they look. We judge people by what they have. That is not the way the Christian mind thinks. We talk to people because they are God's children. Period. But we think differently if we are under Christ. It says this, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have made, you've been made right with God. Sin then kills our spiritual life. Spirit gives us life. Spiritual living requires that you're guided by the principles of the Bible and not by your desires. Spiritual living demands that you know the Bible, to guide you in how you think, in how you make decisions, in how you parent, in how you raise your children. Spiritual thinking is not about perfection and pretending to be perfect, but rather coming to a realization that I have weakness, but God, you can help me overcome that so I can build relationships that help me overcome those weaknesses. Spiritual living is not about pretense. Actually, it's real. It's who we are. Because we are who we are, we can make real changes. We can spend time pretending to be someone we're not and get to 70 and realize we wasted our life. You've got to ask this question one more time. Who are you in Christ? Is there a congruence between who you are outside and inside? Is there stuff you fight and don't talk and we are afraid to try because when we fought, last time we tried, we failed. So we don't want to try again. I mean, that's one reason evangelism dies, because most people don't want to evangelize anymore because the last time they did, they were rejected and they took that personally. And that wasn't about them, it was about God. And we take everything personally. Even when people sneeze, we think, why are they doing that in front of me? Well, they can't help themselves. That's what's going on. It's not about you. I may catch a flu or something. Maybe they just got allergies. Don't think about flus all the time. People got allergies. You'll be fine. Does that make sense? We got so caught up in all kinds of things. I'm like, what is going on? Spiritual living is about God and less about us. We die to who we are, and God is formed in you in an amazing way that you can look back 10 years and say, God has changed my life so much. That change sometimes is painful. That change sometimes is easy. That change sometimes is not visible to you, but other people can see it. What is important is that you stay with God. But I am concerned that each time I put up a scripture, you guys don't tell me what the books are. And I want to know, how will you be filled with the Spirit if you don't know what the Bible says? You cannot come here on Sunday and I feed you a spiritual meal. Then you go for a fast of 5 days or 2 days and you come back on Wednesday and I give you another meal. Then you go for another fast and I give you another meal. It cannot be. You've got to know it for yourself. That is when you get inspired. You walk out that morning and you feel like God is with me. I heard what he says and I can go with God on this one. That is the unlocking tool we need to give us a spiritual direction on a daily basis. The idea that you can rely on a preacher man on a Wednesday, on a Sunday, is not feasible. You're running, as I was telling the campus, you're running on E. It's always on. The light is about to go on and your car's about to stall. You need to climb a little bit higher to halfway and full tank, and then we'll do well spiritually. That's how it looks like. We stop seeing things from the world. We come from a spiritual point of view. What leads you? Now we know how it looks like, but what leads you? Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Really, there's no obligation. We sometimes feel helpless. Oh my goodness, I had no choice. There's no such a thing as you have no choice. There's a choice. Including not making a choice is a choice. You made a choice not to make a choice. There's no such a thing as there's no choice. There is a choice in how we handle things. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. If you let the spirit, the worldliness take charge of your life, you die spiritually. You may be sitting with us here, but your soul is dying. There's no inspiration, engagement, any animation that comes out of that. It's not there. You will die. It says you will die, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When you get baptized and your sins are forgiven, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you now become a child of God. We all belong to God, Christian or no Christian, but to own that, to get into that family, you need to repent and get baptized for forgiveness of sins. Then you come into the family of God. Now, if you understand that, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And it says, you do not have a reason to choose to be in the world. You can actually choose to be led by the Spirit. When you're being led by the Spirit, you have to be conscious about how you make decisions. Very conscious about how you're making decisions. Too many people, and I've said this, but I'll say it again. Too many people are not conscious about how they're making their decisions. In fact, you've set a lifestyle. That's what you've done. But you don't engage on a day-to-day basis on what am I doing right now? What is God telling me right now? That is not something we engage a lot. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you pray about your packing? Packing a car. You don't pray about such stuff, right? Do you pray about if you flip the switch, light will come on? Do you pray about your kitchen, that no fires will come up? The other day I had some fires. I had to figure out how to deal with that. Do you pray about stuff like that? It's because of where we live. It's very clear that there'll be light tomorrow. I've been in countries where light doesn't come in 8 hours. Before that. So while that is not our own making, there are other things we can engage much more deeply. I.e., do you pray about your job situation and how you relate in the office? Do you pray about your money and how you're using it? Do you pray about the people that God can put in your life so that you may tell them about God? Do you pray about that? Do you pray about your future? But specifically, not just God be with the future. He's there. Be there. He's always been there. More specific. How specific are your prayers? That begins to tell me how spiritual you are with how you're walking with God. We hardly ask God specific things. We're just very general. God be with us. He's always with us, if you didn't realize that. He's here right now. God, he's right here as we speak. Not me. I'm just a conduit. I'm just trying to really raise that tension to you to understand that you need to get more specific in your prayer. That is spiritual. Being led spiritually is specific. It's not just hoping, let's see what happens. My point is, we live in a very comfortable country. It's easy to just get set and not think through how specific you need to get. And over time, it becomes a lifestyle that's not led with the Spirit. It's just something we do because we achieve what we want anyway. We have to be specific about this. What leads you? You better be specific about your prayers. Then you'll see what leads you. What's your view of suffering? So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. You will not understand God if you are afraid of suffering. You will not. The idea that I have come to God to get an insurance from suffering, I think you're in the wrong insurance. First of all, life happens to all of us. Not because the idea that you go through something, you're a bad person, is not true. I've told you the story of Job. He went through stuff. That wasn't because he was a bad guy, but he went through stuff. And God brought him there and he refined him. And he was more godly and dependent on God. We know the story of David. Yeah, he was a man after God's own heart, but he had a challenging life. His son took over some time. He did some crazy things, but God was right there with him. We also know about Peter, the man we talk about. He ran away from the time of persecution, went away, went back, fell away, and then he was called back, and God walked with him anyway. I mean, we can go on and on and on and see that suffering actually, when it's dealt with properly, brings us closer to God. And yet, we spend our time hedging ourselves from suffering. We're afraid of suffering, totally. It's an anxiety thing. If your car breaks down, something can go crazy. If you lose your job, something can go crazy, but God is still working. Here's what we have to understand. If Jesus is our Lord, we're going to have to go through some tough times. But when it happens, will you react the way Jesus did on the cross? Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. That's one way. And it's easy when you're talking about Jesus. What about when it comes to you? There are personal things that you have to deal with, and you have to let God help you. You know, there are things I wish they could not come to any of us, but they come anyway. You know the way you want to protect your child? You want to protect people, want to protect the church, but whatever happens, the devil will always come to it. And we have to embrace it like Jesus did. Very different attitude, seeing God in it. What you're going through helps you find God. If you don't do that, it pulls you away from God. You become angry, resentful. But for that to happen, you have to let go of being perfect and realize you're a broken vessel that needs God to walk through. If you don't do that, you keep up the battle of being perfect. Let go and let God walk with you. I believe that if you get this right, two things are important. One, you must immerse yourself in a relationship with a God that speaks to the issues in your heart. Second, you need to get together with a couple or someone regularly, on a regular basis, to talk through things so that you can come to a place of overcoming. Amen? The idea that you keep it away and only confess when you overcome, actually, it mutates to another thing. You are kidding yourself. Come to the light, and the Spirit will do its work. So I have a challenge for us. For us to be Spirit-led, we've got to get more engaged. The idea that you show up once in a while in midweek, that's not a good idea. The idea that we show up once in a while for house church or whatever, that's not the way of God. God wants us to be engaged and inspired, amen? And let me talk about the big one. Yes, we need to come to the class in the morning, amen? Well, I don't want to come to the class in the morning because I think whatever they talk about is not very interesting. Now you become a consumer of the Word of God. No, you need to come here and be open to hear what it says. Not consuming what you want and don't want. What have we become? Come on in and hear the Word of God. If you are a consumer, you need to repent of consumerism and begin to be convicted. That's for you. You may not like what I'm talking about, but the Spirit is talking to you right now. You need to stop coming late and coming in and hearing the Word of God. I don't think the topics help me. That's my point. This topic really needs to help you if you just paid attention. Sometimes it's not the music. It's the guy that came to listen to the gig that is the problem. The band is fine, but you're not in the right space, so you can't hear it sometimes. Yeah, it's not presented very well. Okay, we're working on that. We're working on that. We're not presenting very well. We're working on that. We're going to repent on that. Does that make sense? Maybe we're not doing a very good job staying with current affairs. Amen. We're working on that as well. But don't just stay away. Come along and let's make it happen. Spiritual living is not about taking sides. Spiritual living is being connected with God. God bless you.